not care for success or failure. He is equal in both distress and happiness. Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. This beautiful verse is from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. These qualities, as we hear them, perhaps we're getting some idea of how far we are, what to speak of pure devotional service, but how far we are away from the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness itself is the platform by which it is possible for us to enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Let us read the translation again. As you're hearing it, please take it very personally. With each word of this translation, evaluate your own consciousness in comparison to see how much we are living in the mode of goodness. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. We should be carefully trying to understand these qualities. We should have them as a goal in front of us that we are striving to achieve. And anything that is an obstruction, either from within our own minds or in the environment around us, we have to understand how to overcome that. False ego or pride is a great cause for downfall. Whoever we are, whether we're a simple brahmachari, whether we are working in the hospital as a nurse, whether we are a spiritual leader, an emperor, a king, pride cometh before the fall. Why is that? Because in this material world, there's danger at every step. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. When we speak about danger at every step, this is on all levels. On the physical level, on the emotional level, and on the spiritual level. Physically, we can see very clearly with our eyes how there is danger at every step. If there's a little water on a stairway, we can slip and crack our skull and die or be paralyzed for the rest of our life. It happens every day. It's not that it will not happen to you. It can happen to anyone. Just walking up and down the stairs, just walking down the street. The man who is declared to be the healthiest person on the planet Earth by many medical practitioners and researchers, he was giving a seminar on how to live so that you can be in perfect health till over 100 years old through particular type of diet and exercise and thinking. Thousands of people were coming to his seminars. After giving such a seminar, he was walking back to his automobile and he slipped on some oil on the street, fell, cracked his head, and died. He was only in his early 40s. There's danger at every step. What to speak with all nations possessing all kinds of bombs, even if you watch every step very, very carefully. There's other people that can step on you. So this is the world we live in. And disease. Bhaktivedanta Hospital, many of you are working here. You know what disease is all about. You could be perfectly healthy, so you think. And there may be little types of bacterial personalities within you who are creating some sort of a, like a labor strike within you. You're the manager of the body, you don't know what's happening, but they're just mobilizing all kinds of forces, and all of a sudden, you're diagnosed, and it's too late. It's too late. It's overcome you. It could be happening to any one of us now. It's not that we should just be living in fear, but we should be living in awareness that there is danger at every step, physically. And as far as your mental equilibrium, there's danger at every step. Some sort of crisis can come in our life at any time, to our own body, to the people we love, to our dreams. People could turn against us, people could die, people could disappoint us at any moment. Just think in your mind, you can't calculate, but how many variables are possible on any given day to put your mind in a spin of frustration, anxiety, confusion, and suffering? Can you calculate a number? It could happen to you personally, it could happen family, friends, international influences, environmental influences. There can be tidal waves. There could be a dangerous snake living in your bed one night. There can be earthquakes. So many things. Your business, your house. It's innumerable how many things could happen at any moment to put your mind in total frustration. And spiritually, Maya is so strong. We are living in Kali Yuga. This is not Satya Yuga. Kali Yuga is all around us. North, south, east, west, up, down, in and out. The influences of Kali are everywhere. And everyone, everywhere, at all times, in the conditioned state, are trying to tear your consciousness away from Krishna. In the age of Kali Yuga, this material energy, every atomic particle within every object is programmed to somehow or other draw your attraction away from Krishna and toward sense gratification, toward egoistic mentality. So there's many dangers at every step to make spiritual progress. Why is humility so important? Why does pride cometh before the fall? Because a humble person, humble person is eager to hear. To hear means to take very seriously in a submissive spirit, what is my position? What is around me? What are the dangers? And how to somehow or other protect myself, my loved ones, and our society at large from those dangers. It takes a humble person to do that. If you're proud, you think you know, but the fact is, except for Krishna, nobody knows. There is essentially, there's Krishna and there's Maya. Either you're listening to Krishna or you are under the powers of Maya. If you think you know, you're in Maya. Maya will definitely defeat you. Essentially, she's already defeated you as long as you think you know. And the rest is just a formality to make it more official. When all of a sudden, you're totally bewildered, your regulative principles, everything's gone. That's just the natural consequence of false pride, inattentiveness. Association of devotees is so important. To learn how to associate with devotees is most important. We need to hear. We desperately have to take shelter of the guidelines, the precautions, what is favorable for devotional service, what is unfavorable for devotional service, what is the possibilities at every moment of how Maya can take us away. If someone is humble, they take good advice, they're very afraid to go against that advice, and they take all precautions. And if someone is proud, they don't take those precautions. They don't listen very seriously. We were recently discussing a historical example which clearly illustrates this principle. One of the most famous tragedies of the 20th century. In Great Britain, at the time when India was a colony of Great Britain, in fact, the whole world was applauding that the most technologically advanced, safe, perfectly structured, unsinkable, well-built ship that has ever been made by man was successfully going to take its maiden voyage. People from all over the world came to be a part of this celebration where it was going to take its first voyage. And some of the wealthiest people in the world, just for the sake of prestige, wanted to be on that ship. Its name was Titanic. Something interesting. When they built the ship, they made it so safe. Every possible way to make it just perfectly safe. And they had enough life rafts, because every ship, something may happen, so you have to have life rafts. They had enough life rafts for every single passenger and more. And they were on the upper deck or something. So what happened is, the promoters and the designers of the company, they were trying to make it so luxurious and beautiful to give so much of an impression to the distinguished people on it. They were thinking that the life rafts don't look very nice. And this ship cannot sink. It's the safest, most well-built ship ever made by man. It's unsinkable. So these life rafts, they just don't look very nice. So we should take all of them off this deck. So it's just a very clear, wide passageway for people to walk on and see the ocean and everything like that. They took off, I think, 3/4 of the lifeboats. Hare Krishna. They were also told that they should go a certain speed. They shouldn't go above that speed. But they were thinking, if they get, I think they were going to New York or something, if they get to America ahead of time, then it will even show how much more glorious the boat is. So they were going over speed without life rafts, and they were all just having big, big, wonderful parties because they were confident. Basically, they were simply puffed up. They were proud of what they have done. They didn't take proper advice, they didn't take proper precautions, and what happened? You see, the way the ocean is icebergs, sometimes you can't even see them. They're underwater, their tips are just there, ready to tear you apart. And sometimes you could see them, but it's too late. So I guess it was the middle of the night, and they crashed into an iceberg, and everybody just naturally said, well, you know, let's get in the lifeboats. We left them back in London. I think it was Liverpool. We left them back in Liverpool because it didn't look very nice to have all those lifeboats on the ship. So they were helpless. They were hopeless. They just all went down to the bottom of the ocean. The Vedic scriptures, which Srila Prabhupada has extracted the essence from, often declare that this material existence is like a vast ocean. The ocean of material existence. We read in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that this vast ocean of birth and death, which is material existence, is uncrossable. By trying to cross it, by our own abilities, by the abilities of any other scientist, philosopher, technologist, sociologist, or politician, cross beyond the miseries of this ocean of material birth and death is like trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean, or any vast ocean, by grabbing on to the tail of a dog. Now, dogs are actually good swimmers, and they never even have to take swimming classes. People in India, for some reason, they just don't know how to swim, usually. Have you taken note of that? How many people here know how to swim? Raise your hand. if you were to ask this question in practically any other country in the world, 100% people would raise their hands. Because if you want to learn how to swim, you have to take swimming lessons, you have to learn from somebody. Somebody says, you go like this, and you go like this, and you have to do it. But dogs never take swimming lessons. You just throw any dog in the water and immediately he just starts swimming. Honestly, I've never seen a dog drown. They just swim. It's their nature. Now, you may think a fish, they're made for the water, but dogs are not made for the water. A dog who's lived in the desert all his life, you throw him in the ocean when he's 10 years old and he'll immediately start swimming. So there's an appearance that dogs are good swimmers. So similarly, there is an appearance that people who are building nice computers or building nice security forces or building nice armies or who have all kinds of nice philosophies, that they could save me from this, they can help me cross this ocean of miseries. But Srila Prabhupada explains it's like grabbing on to the tail of a dog to cross over the ocean. It's hopeless. But Bhagavatam explains, if you take shelter of Krishna, then the vast quantity of the ocean reduces to the amount of water contained within the hoof print of a small calf. You can easily cross over it. Without even getting wet, you can just walk over it. That is our only hope. But how to take shelter of Krishna? When the whole material energy and all of her agents are on a conspiracy to somehow or other distract your attention away from Krishna. To somehow or other promise you another shelter away from Krishna. So in crossing this vast ocean, we have to have very good association. We have to be very humble. We have to be constantly taking good advice. It's not that because we're devotees for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 80 years. It's not that because of time I don't need good advice anymore. Srila Prabhupada, he was a devotee from his birth and before that. However, he explains to us many times, there was never a time when my Guru Maharaj was not with me. That means he was always taking instruction from his spiritual master, constantly. On Jaladuta, he was praying to Krishna and his Guru Maharaj, just make me your puppet. Just let... When there was heart attacks and seasickness in the Atlantic Ocean on the Jaladuta, trying to cross that ocean, which was a massive impediment to his service to Guru and Krishna. He explained that his only solace was taking shelter of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the more advanced we are is determined by how humbly we are always accepting the guidance and following that guidance and taking all precautions from Krishna through Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and Vaishnavas. This is most essential. If we don't, we will sink. Not maybe, absolutely, we will sink. Even great personalities, materially. In the last President of the United States, who was actually popular, was John Fitzgerald Kennedy. You've heard of him? He was very young. He was only in his 40s. He had a beautiful wife, very lovely children. He had all the powers of the American Army, Marine, Navy, Air Force, National Guard at his disposal. He was a multi-millionaire. And he was going to take a ride through Dallas, Texas in a convertible car so he could wave to everyone. And someone told him that we have heard news. His own Secret Service people told him, we have news that there are assassins who want to kill you here. You shouldn't go. You should go in a bulletproof car in this. He said, no. Nobody's going to kill me. How many know what happened that day? Srila Prabhupada uses that example, that even such a great scholar who was so powerful, famous, and full of opulences, somehow or other, he wasn't willing to take good advice. He thought he knew better. He thought he was successful and stable in his existence. Nice family, nice income, nice position, I'm popular. But at any moment, everything could be finished. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Titanic sunk. And they've been searching for it for years and years. I think they just recently found it somewhere in the bottom of the ocean. Why have they spent, when did it sink? 1920, before that? Something like that. They've spent 75 years and millions of dollars to find it. Because it's such a historic impact on the whole human society. We should learn from history. Krishna speaking in Bhagavad Gita. How should we be living? What we should watch out for? What precautions to take? The humble service attitude that's required in every aspect of our life, even if we're fighting. If we do not take these teachings seriously and take the guidance of mature devotees who have digested these teachings and who have some realization, even if we're fighting. If we do not take these teachings seriously and take the guidance of mature devotees who have digested these teachings and who have some realization of how to apply them to the world, unless we're constantly being protected and guarding by their advice and by the following of their advice, we will sink. In this ocean of birth and death. So humility is really the prerequisite quality for all spiritual stability. Without that, any other spiritual or material acquisitions, opulences, or qualifications we have are illusory. They cannot give us any real stability. You could be the greatest preacher, the greatest singer of bhajans and kirtans, the greatest manager, the greatest doctor, the greatest businessman, the greatest politician, whatever you may be, the greatest warrior. But you're going to sink. unless you have that humility by which you're willing to take shelter of Krishna. And the fundamental ways of taking shelter of Krishna is to submissively hear from him and believe what he's saying about our precarious position and take all precautions. Srila Prabhupada told us, anyone who's not chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can fall victim to Maya at any moment. It's a precaution. It's quite serious. But we're thinking, well, I'm quite established and I've been doing these 16 rounds for so many years and people are bowing down to me, so I don't have to chant today. It's not that important. That means we're becoming a little too proud to take the precaution. And the result is, you will fall victim to Maya at any moment. But Maya is so clever that she could, like the cancer disease, you can be a victim and not even know you're a victim. She can subtly just be taking away all your energies, all your spiritual credits, and by the time you know it, it's too late. That's another lesson we could learn from diseases. Everything in this world is very symbolic to our spiritual development. So real stability in spiritual life is the humble nature by which we're willing at all times throughout our spiritual journey until we actually place our spiritual feet in the Goloka Vrindavan. Up until that point, at every moment, we have to be very humble, to understand how vulnerable we are, to understand how important our spiritual life is, and to live with integrity. And that integrity means to always be trying to seek out the association that will guide me and protect me, and to take and to follow, to put it into practice. Not tomorrow, today, tomorrow, every day. Every time you read the newspaper, how much good news and how much bad news is in the newspaper? To what proportion? You read newspapers more than me, probably, but I sometimes. You can usually, from one drop of the ocean, you could tell basically the condition of the ocean. Is there more good news or bad news? Let's take a vote of what your particular observation, not the sports pages, but the news, what's going on in the world. Even the sports is usually bad news, but that's relevant, relative. But in the news of the current events of what's going on every day in the world, how many vote that there's more good news every day than bad news? How many vote that there's more bad news than good news? Nobody votes, unanimous. So, what actually is taking place is every time you hear this news, it's actually Krishna setting off a fire alarm in your life. Samsara Dhavanala Vidaloka. This world is a blazing fire, and we're trying to make a comfortable situation in the middle of a forest fire. That's the reality. The entire material existence is a blazing forest fire. And we're right in the middle of a forest fire. We have our house, we have our air conditioner, we have our television, and we're trying to be very comfortable in the middle of the forest fire. But every time you pick up a newspaper, every time you hear about something, some tragedy happening in somebody who you love's life, or in the surroundings around you, or in your own life, what it is it's actually Krishna. You can take it this way. He's sounding the fire alarm. You're in the middle of a forest fire. You are going to be burnt. You're being burnt. You just don't, you may not experience it yet. It may has not penetrated your flesh enough to feel the pain and howl out in agony, but you're being burnt. And all there is fire all around you. Here's the precaution. Here's how to put out that fire. Here's how to get out of that fire. If right now there was an alarm that the hospital's on fire, the first three floors are completely ablaze, what would you do? Would you take it seriously? How to get out of this place? Perhaps you take it very seriously. I doubt. I would say everyone would be flying in all directions trying to somehow find a way out of here. That's the situation with your life. Yet, you know, we're watching TV and we're eating potato chips and whatever else we're doing. It's on fire. The alarms are going off everywhere in your own life. Become serious. Become humble. When there's a fire, there's somebody who says, here is the exit. Take off your shoes, take off flammable clothes, go out this way. And there's perfect instructions. And if you're intelligent, you will listen so carefully, because how you listen to that man's instruction is a matter of life or death. That's how we should be reading the scriptures. That's how we should be hearing from the sadhus. And that's how we should be following. Krishna consciousness is actually very simple, if we're humble. And humility doesn't mean you are Prabhu and I am Das, 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 Anu Das. Humility means actually living like that. And what does it mean to live like that? It means, please instruct me. What do I have to do? And if I'm humble, I understand I have to do it. Today. Then we will always be protected by Krishna. And that protection is the only shelter. Krishna explains in Gita, attachment, fear, and anger are the great enemies. But one who seeks shelter in me, one who takes refuge in me, they only can escape from the flames of the material existence. Many, many, many great persons in the past have attained transcendental love for me by developing this knowledge. Krishna consciousness is simple and joyful, even in the face of the greatest tragedies and challenges of life. Krishna consciousness is blissful if we're humbly seeking shelter of Krishna and taking proper guidance from the Lord and his devotees. And in this spirit, we can attract Krishna's most loving mercy in every stage of our life. as we chant his holy names. Is there any questions? Is there harmonium here?
Prabhuji, can I ask in Hindi?
As long as someone translates for me.
Anyway, I'll ask in English only. Once we had heard about that all the diseases, you mentioned about the bacteria and certain other things, and I'm a doctor, so I would always like to know more in detail. Like once I heard in Pravachan only, that whatever disease we get, let it be coronary, whatever disease or hypertension or bacterial disease or non-bacterial disease, they are because of our past sins. So, few questions like, if they are our past sins, why do we treat them? Second question, if it is due to past sin, I am going to get it. And then, if it is that I am going to get it, then I cannot prevent it. So, do you agree with that?
Hare Krishna. Who would like to answer this question? The first part was that does it occur due to past karma? The laws of action and reaction are the integral means by which the whole material nature is in motion. So yes, whatever situation we're in, it is a reaction to what we have created in the past. So we really do not have any choice in regard to what reactions we're going to get. However, we have a choice of how to react to the reactions. That will determine our present as well as our future. For instance, you may have insulted somebody in your past life, or even in this life. So the reaction is somebody is going to humiliate you. So when you're humiliated, if you become angry and retaliate and humiliate him, then what is the result? You're going to be humiliated again and again and again. It's a chain reaction. To act in a noble, proper way, then the reaction has come, it's gone, it's finished. The problem with the ignorance of human society is reactions come. And instead of just letting them come and be finished, we aggravate and perpetuate the situation by how we react to our reactions. This is intelligence. So, if a disease comes, that disease is some sort of a reaction to something we have done in the past. Now, it is the duty of every human being who has been given this very blessed and treasured human form of life by the Lord to try to take care of this human existence for a proper purpose, for the proper purpose. This is explained in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's actually the duty of a human being to protect his human form of life by noble and pious means. So when there is a disease there, it's our duty to try to protect this body. Now, sometimes, even with the best physician, and taking the most specifically, technically perfect care to follow all the instructions, we still die. Have you seen that? And sometimes by following those instructions, we become completely cured. That means that ultimately, the will of providence, based on our own karmic conditions, is going to determine the ultimate result. However, we have to do everything that we can to make precaution. If we neglect it, this is a technicality that should be understood. If you have a disease, the initial disease that comes to you is your past karma. If you take every good care of it, you may be able to eliminate that karma and become completely cured again. If you act piously and try to eliminate it. If you neglect it, that neglect of the well-being of your human form of life may create a karma where that disease is unstoppable. So to some people, if they take proper care, they could cure it. That's a karmic way of dealing with karma. The present is there, you can deal with the future. But some certain types of karma, no matter how much you do it, you're just destined to die. Now in Krishna consciousness, we accept the principle of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masuja. If you sincerely take the name of Krishna and chant it in a spirit of surrender, then all your previous sins of all your previous births are removed. When you actually wholeheartedly surrender to the Lord, when you genuinely chant the name of the Lord with no offenses in your heart, then you're completely and intimately in the hands of God at all times. And whatever he's doing is working for the best to bring you to the most purified state. So as a physician, you should understand you're dealing with karma, and you're helping a person to deal with his karma in such a way to get an auspicious condition physically. And if karma permits, he'll be cured. If he's neglectful, that karma of neglect will kill him or make it worse. But if he follows the proper physician, the proper means, he could be cured. And if he's not, it's just not meant to be. You just have to accept it as this person's due lot. Therefore, the best physician is a person who not only tries to deal with a person's karmic situation by giving the proper medicine, the proper lifestyle, and to do it in a noble, honorable way, but also to give that person the transcendental connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we can actually be helping to give that person progress in the ultimate solution to all disease, which is ignorance. Does that answer your question? Is that clear to anyone? See, I'm not a good speaker, so sometimes I think I'm saying something, but I'm confusing everyone by, is that clear what I spoke? You're all so polite that I don't know what to say. Is there any other questions? The best medicine for the most critically dangerous disease, which is forgetfulness of our eternal reality, which is the cause of all misery. The best medicine is the sincere chanting of the holy name of the Lord. and how to chant the name of the Lord so the medicine will have its optimum effects. Medicines in this world, it will work if there isn't a certain karmic condition that is beyond it. But this medicine will work 100% to everyone and anyone, whatever the karmic condition may be. If we chant, if we take this medicine following this golden rule of spiritual principles. Trinadapi sunichena tara iva shihishnana amanina manatena kirtaniya sadahari. This is what we are trying to speak of from this verse of Bhagavad Gita tonight. One should be humble like the straw in the street. Straw in the street is a blade of grass that's been uprooted and thrown on the street. What is its position? One should be more humble than straw in street. More tolerant than a tree. Tolerant means forbearant. Ready to offer all respect to others. Expect no respect for oneself. In this spirit, we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. As we are explaining in this verse, we may not be on this platform, but we should strive to be on this platform. We should accept what will help us to come to this platform and reject what disturbs our attention from that goal of life. Then the name of God, it will swiftly deliver us from this ocean of birth and death. It will extinguish the blazing forest fire of material existence. It will utterly cure the disease of envy, pride, greed, anger, illusion, and lust within our heart. And in the perfectly transcendent healthy state, we are Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, in the beautiful, loving association of Krishna. What does it mean to be humble when we're chanting the holy name? To take all precautions and advice from the Vaishnavas, the scriptures and guru. To apply it to our life, to take all precautions, and to never think we're too advanced, we're too big, we're too great, we're too learned, to be in desperate need at every moment. There's icebergs everywhere. There's fire alarms going off all around us. We should take things seriously. It doesn't mean we should live in total anxiety and fear. It means we should live in a very sensible, serious, determined, and enthusiastic way. To make spiritual progress. So at this time we would like to inoculate everyone with Harinam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna.